How to teach your brain to stop overthinking and ruminating. If you are realizing that these intense, mysterious physical symptoms are not some body issue, but in fact being caused by anxiety, you might have so many things in your life that you want to focus on, that you want to live, that you just want to enjoy, but you can't because you're constantly overthinking everything. Well, I want to help you understand the mechanics of what's going on, why you're overthinking so much, why this has been a habit that you've developed. And if it's a habit you've developed, well, it's a habit that you can unlearn so that you don't have to overthink so much, so that you can focus on living while healing from these symptoms, which is the most important thing. So let's get it started. So if you don't know who I am, my name is Sean. It's clearly a different background. It's pouring outside. So I'm just going to film a quick video here. What we do is we help people overcome these symptoms. And that's what this channel is dedicated for. It's helping you overcome these symptoms. Now, the first thing I want to mention is that you might be feeling that somehow you are the biggest overthinker in the world, that somehow you just overthink everything and you meet other people that just don't think as much as you. And you're wondering, how can you not think as much as this? How can you not try to plan out every single scenario? Well, the truth is that what's happened is that when you're dealing with anxiety or when you're dealing with a prolonged stress, your body goes into this fight or flight mode. It's designed to protect you from predators, to run away or fight something. So you might notice a few things happen. Your heart rate increases. Your blood flow goes to the muscles so that, you know, you can utilize your muscles. But one thing that also happens is that your mind just starts racing. It does that because it's trying to figure out every single situation. The idea is that if you can pre-plan something, your chances of survival is higher. Whether you're dealing with anxiety as a disorder or you're just dealing with some life stressor like everybody else does, overthinking is natural. Now, what happens is that when you're dealing with anxiety for a prolonged period of time, when your nervous system hits the stress threshold, your nervous system becomes very sensitized as a consequence. Basically, all that means is that your nervous system looks at everything as a threat. You know, if you're feeling anxiety, it's a threat. If it's a physical symptom you're experiencing, it's a threat. So basically, your brain is saying, Sean is in danger, something's going on, so I'm gonna think up of everything that's going on, right? And so what happens is people start thinking that this is somehow a personality issue when really it's just a state issue, meaning your nervous system is just sensitized. You've been in a state of prolonged stress for such a long period of time that it's just natural for your brain to think up worst case scenarios. Now, the idea is that as you desensitize your nervous system, as your brain comes back to baseline, as your nervous system comes back to baseline, the overthinking naturally stops on its own. Your body's producing less adrenaline. This is an oversimplification of helping you understand nervous system sensitization. If you want to know more about how nervous system sensitization not only causes these overthinking habits, intrusive thoughts, but also how it creates these physical symptoms, the panic attacks, I'll put a link down below to a free ebook that breaks down the principles of recovery, helping you understand nervous system sensitization. This is often a big piece that people are missing in their healing journey. But that's all said and good. But like, what are some practical steps that you can utilize to stop overthinking, right? If even though you understand the abstract, you understand how this works, how does this work from a practical standpoint? Well, here's some fundamental things to understand. The idea of controlling your thoughts or controlling overthinking is the wrong way to look at it. The idea is not to control overthinking. It's just not to let it control you. So think about it this way. You might be thinking of your thoughts as a battle. You're constantly battling your thoughts. But the second you're battling your thoughts and you're looking at it from that approach, you've already lost. See, you're coming from the approach of, okay, I'm having a thought. Well, if I engage with the thought, if I show the thought that that's not true, if I can just think through things and show it and do every cost-benefit analysis, well, then the thought will go away. But that's not what actually happens. This happens sometimes in situations where you're problem solving. But when it comes to this, when there really is no problem inherently, because if there was a problem, you'd be resolving it. When the problem itself is the overthinking, engaging with it causes you to create more fuel. You're adding more fuel to the fire. So the idea isn't trying to battle the thought. It's just not engaging with the thought. What happens is that when you have a thought, even the thought that convinces you that, you know, something bad's gonna happen, that, hey, you're neglecting something that's super important, Sean, when you decide not to engage with it, it has no power. Now, you might be thinking, yes, Sean, but what if this thought is actually important? What if this is that one thought that I should be paying attention to? Okay, I understand all those other thoughts, that was overthinking, that was anxiety, but what if this thought is some sort of thing that I really need to address? Well, it's important to understand that if you've done the most basic things, which is going to your doctor, getting everything ruled out, making sure you have a clean bill of health, everything is good, there's nothing you need to do. Anxiety is the biggest trickster. Sometimes it tries to stay alive by trying to convince you that what you're dealing with is not anxiety. It's going to say, no, this isn't anxiety. This is just too bizarre to be anxiety. So you need to address it. You need to engage it. And all that does is that it just fuels the fire. It's trying to stay alive because historically, if your anxiety stayed alive, you stayed alive. Say what you want about anxiety. It's ruining your life. It's doing everything that is just making your life miserable. But the reason why you're alive is because of anxiety, because it does do a good job. And instead of doing a good job or a poor job, it would rather overdo it and do too good of a job. So you need to teach it that, hey, you're just overreacting to these things. And how do you do that? Not by trying to fight it, not trying to engage with it, but just not letting it hold any power. Let the thoughts come in and you don't need to engage. Now, you might be wondering, okay, well, how do I practically do that? How do I just not engage? Well, it's important to understand you're already doing it, right? An average person has 60,000 thoughts on average. Because you're dealing with anxiety, you probably are dealing with a little bit more thoughts. You don't engage with every single thought. You're not fighting every single thought. You're only fighting with the thoughts that A, scare you the most and are the most believable. But all the other thoughts, whatever silly, ridiculous thought you have, it doesn't even register in your brain. You're not even conscious of it because it's just a thought. Who cares? The reason why these thoughts are holding power over you is because there's an emotional punch behind them. And second, you're also identified with the thought. You're thinking, what if this is actually there? It's a believable thought, right? But it's important to understand even the thoughts that seem the most real, those are the thoughts you need to disengage with the most. It's those thoughts that are keeping it alive. It's very simple. If you feel like there's something there, speak with somebody that you trust, that you consult with. We have a mentorship program guiding people through this because, oftentimes people need advice from people that have recovered. That being said, find somebody you trust and tell them, listen, is this something that I really need to address or not? And create a systemized plan. Okay, if it is this, I'll do this, this, this. But in the meantime, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to focus on getting resolved. But if my advisors say it's fine, if my doctor says it's fine, I'm going to throw it under the anxiety umbrella and I'm not going to engage with it. Is the thought going to still feel very real? Is the thought going to feel like, oh yeah, but they're missing something. Oh, they're not qualified. They're not this, they're not that. It's going to do that. But you have to recognize that as long as you have people around you that have your best interest at heart, and if you advise with them, consult with them, and they say it's fine, throw it under the anxiety umbrella and move on. One of the things that really helped me because these thoughts had such an emotional punch was creating a blasé, chill attitude about it. So basically, if my thoughts were, no, Sean, this is actually something really serious, you got to get it fixed. Well, what happens if you don't get it fixed? This and this is going to happen. And I would just basically practice the attitude of, listen, if that is what's going to happen, that's when it happened. I'll address it when it does happen, right? And so a lot of times you feel like you need to fix a thought preemptively because you don't want the worst case situation to happen. You're almost planning ahead, but you start coming up with the attitude of, okay, listen, if it is something, I'll address it later. The idea is that you don't act on it. And if it does become a problem, then you'll act on it later. Anxiety is not going to like that. And it's going to make you feel very uncomfortable because it's going to say, but by the time you do that, it's too late. But again, these are just intrusive thoughts. This is just anxiety causing you to react because it wants to stay alive. Now, the last piece I'm going to be mentioning is around the rumination aspect. It's important to understand what you can control on the healing journey and what you can't. So there's two things to understand. One is a thought and one is thinking. Do you know the difference? Do you know what the difference is between a thought and thinking? Thinking is active engagement. Thinking is an action. Thoughts are just thoughts, right? They're nothing. They're just thoughts. They come, they go. Do you have any control over thoughts? No, you don't have any control over thoughts. Do you have control over thinking about something? You do, right? You can choose to think about something. You can choose not to. Now, because you're in this cycle, it might feel like thinking is a natural reaction. It's like a natural habit. In a way, it is. But what you can do is that when you catch yourself thinking, you can always redirect your focus. You say, I'm not going to think about that, and you focus on something else. It's not easy, but It's possible. When you're thinking about a thought, you're reinforcing the thought. Recognizing that these thoughts that you're having, you can't get identified with it. Don't identify with it. Just view it as a thought. It's just a thought. No matter how much of an emotional punch it has, no matter how convincing it feels, no matter how uncomfortable it is, it's just a thought, just like a mundane thought. And so treating them both exactly the same. And so it's important to understand when thinking is useful and when thinking is counterproductive. This is part of the healing journey. So make sure that you have people in your circle that have your best interest, that understand what's going on, that can help you on the healing journey. So I hope this helps. There's resources in the description box, including applying to mentorship to work with me and my team, helping you overcome your symptoms. And if you want to know the 5 steps to overcoming anxiety symptoms, the overarching view, make sure to check out this video right here. I'll see you in the next one.